hit the road, Jack. Don't you come back no more, no more, no more, no more. Hit the road, Jack. And don't you come back no more.
The road is the perfect song to introduce our first segment. Hello, welcome to the Green Front. D.R. Tucker and I are here to tell you about some important news this week, and we're starting with some good news. Electric car sales are revving up. We're going to chat with Doug Fox. He's the president of the Michigan Automobile Dealers Association and Ann Arbor Automotive. In our second segment, we'll be chatting with Dr. John J. Berger. He is a climate, energy, and natural resource specialist who somehow has not been on the program yet, even though he's written more than 10 books on climate change and related issues. That will be in the second segment. And then in the third part of the show, we're going to be interviewing some filmmakers with a just-released documentary. Alice and Lincoln Day have written a book about the environmental impacts, environmental footprint of war. It's called Scarred Lands and Wounded Lives. You won't want to miss that. They're a couple in their 70s who saw An Inconvenient Truth and have been working on this film ever since. Welcome to the program, and hello, DR.
Yes, how are you doing?
Great. I think we have Doug Fox with us.
Hi, Betsy. I'm here.
Thank you, Doug, for joining us. We love to have good news on the program, Sound Solutions for a Healthier Planet and People, or Greening the Red and Blue States One Show at a Time. Take your pick. Those are our mottos here at the Green Front. And we were really encouraged to see that finally we're seeing sales pick up in the electric and plug-in cars. I assume plug-ins are part of the electric car category. So tell us what you're seeing.
Yes, it's really, really happening this year, 2013. The numbers and the increases are just staggering. Nissan, for example, who launched the Leaf last year, and we are a Nissan dealer, the sales of Nissan Leafs, which is a full EV vehicle, no tailpipe, no gas tank, are equivalent this year through June to the entire year of 2012. So they've already sold as many Leafs this year through June that they did for the entire year last year. So a huge increase of 100% if it continues at the same pace, maybe even higher if it continues to increase. We're just seeing more and more adapters to this new type of vehicle.
It's about time. DR?
Yes. It's very impressive that this is occurring despite years and years of attacks on electric vehicles and hybrid vehicles and plug-in vehicles by Fox News Channel, among other entities. Do you think this is a sign that the sort of attempt to sort of smear electric vehicles and cleaner cars has finally failed, or do you think it's still going to be a few more years before this whole propaganda effort is fully discredited?
Well, we're certainly not seeing the pushback that we were a couple years ago on these vehicles. You know, all we heard about was range anxiety and the concern about the total charging distance to be traveled under a charge. But these vehicles are so sophisticated today, with clearly identifying the remaining charge in the vehicle. It's just like a fuel gauge in a conventional car. Who would think of driving their conventional car without looking at the fuel gauge occasionally? It's the same thing with an EV, and they are now so sophisticated. They have all the comforts of a conventional internal combustion vehicle, power windows, heated seats, air conditioning, and with the added benefit of new charging stations popping up everywhere, in municipal parking lots, at airports, that provide you, in most cases, a free charge, and in addition to that, a great parking space, usually closest to the door. So it's a wonderful experience that more and more people are discovering, and the early adopters are really, really benefiting from this new infrastructure that's being put in daily.
Mm, that's great news. We've heard mixed news, with Fisker and Better World Place going under, and at the same time, Tesla all of a sudden seeing a surge. Is it really just a matter of, who's got the best concept and the best car at this point?
I think so. You're exactly right. It's still a frontier, kind of the way it was in 1909 with the Model A. There were a lot of manufacturers that entered the market then, and most of them are gone today. But certainly the Tesla and the Leaf and the Chevy Volt, which is not a pure electric vehicle. The Volt still has a little bit of gasoline engine involved, but nevertheless can travel great distances under a pure electric power. These vehicles are here. They're growing in sales every day, and I see definitely those three as winners. We have new entrants that are about to jump into the market. I think BMW is close with Mini. with an electric vehicle. And Honda and Hyundai and Ford are about to jump into the fray shortly as well. So I think you're going to see more entrants coming into this market, and it's just the beginning. It's still a new frontier.
Doug, you mentioned the Nissan Leaf. There was a great ad campaign that was up a few years ago where they had billboards near highways saying, "Nissan Leaf, kick gas." I always would love that ad. What do you think about the role of advertising in terms of the growth of electric vehicles? Do you think that the scale with which these cars are being advertised and being promoted effectively by the makers is playing a role in their growth and their expansion? And do you think that, you know, it will be dependent upon more effective advertising to get more people interested in these cars?
There's no question about that, DR. Advertising and marketing in our culture is a major, major component to any product success. And we can all remember those early Leaf ads. We can remember the cute ad where the gentleman pulls into the gas station and the kid runs around the car looking for the fuel door and can't find it, and he's just there to use the facilities. It's a great way to communicate, sometimes in a funny way, and sometimes in a more serious way, just how wonderful these vehicles can be. And they truly are primary vehicles. These are vehicles that are used daily to and from work, to take the kids to school, to travel through the community for shopping. They're no longer being considered kind of a secondary vehicle, and I still need that other vehicle for towing or for long-distance traveling. That's certainly could be considered for recreational purposes, but more and more people now are buying these cars for everyday use as a primary vehicle.
And Doug, are more customers coming in and expressing concern about climate change or the environment, or not so much? They're just interested in, you know, the latest technology.
Nope. I think we have people on both. There are definitely people that are here with the issue of one thing, $4 a gallon gas. And that's driving the interest in the car. And then we have people that are maybe a little bit more informed as far as how these cars have been developed. And in the case of the Leaf, all the seat material and most of the materials in the car, many of the materials are made from recycled materials, and they are truly environmentally concerned people who want to do something good for the environment, and the last thing they want is a tailpipe or a gas tank in their next vehicle.
Doug, I remember a few years ago watching the documentary "Who Killed the Electric Car?" about these sort of the various industry-led efforts, oil industry-led efforts to sort of, you know, choke off this technology in the late 90s and early 2000s. How much further along would we be in terms of getting more people, you know, into electric vehicles that had not been for that sort of a fossil fuel industry-led effort to sort of kill off this technology, to try to kill it off years ago?
Boy, that's a prediction or a guesstimate that I'm not qualified to make. It certainly had an impact. There's no question about it. There were a lot of seeds planted into people's minds that were just not true, and that's unfortunate. But to try to put a number on it, I would just be guessing. But it's definitely, there's no question about it, it suppressed the sales and the interest level.
And I recall, because I've been doing this kind of programming for more than a dozen years, back right after Katrina, I think it was in 2005, maybe after Katrina, Wilma, and Rita, the, you know, perfect storm of devastating hurricanes to hit the U.S., that GM was rounding up the EV1 and shipping it off to, or trucking them off to Mesa, Arizona, against the wishes of the very happy lessees of those cars. And they were crushing them, you know, in the dark of night. And they saved a couple, they said, for museums. I just thought, what is wrong with this picture? When at the time, I remember Rita hit Galveston, Texas, and the biggest gas-guzzling vehicles were, you know, stranded on the shoulder of the road or the freeway because they ran out of gas. This is as the storm is bearing down, probably fueled by our fossil fuel addiction.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no question about it. The EV1 was a car that the few people that were lucky enough to have one loved. And for whatever reasons, powers beyond mine, took that car away.
Talk about short-sightedness.
Are you aware of any efforts being considered to sort of have more electric vehicles be used as a sense of product placement in movies. So we all know about the power of movies to advertise certain products and to get people interested in certain products. And I can't help thinking that if we saw electric vehicles being used in more films, that might get more people interested. Have you heard anything on that level, on that score?
Well, no, they certainly wouldn't consult me on any product placement decisions. Those would all be made at the headquarters. Most of these brands that I represent are in California. Nissan, of course, is in Tennessee. But I can say this. They are using more and more electric motors in vehicles for super high performance, and I think we all know that tends to be the kind of vehicle that movies like to use. Acura is launching a brand new NSX in another year or so, and that vehicle will be equipped with electric motors because, as we all know, an electric motor delivers instant torque and instant horsepower like no other engine can, creating tremendous acceleration. I mean, the Tesla obviously demonstrates this. And so it's a perfect vehicle to put in an action movie or any kind of a movie that would involve high speed and super acceleration. So I think it's a perfect fit.
Doug, we know you have to go in a minute, so last question. You are there in Michigan. Do you think the electric car movement can do anything to revitalize Detroit, or is this going to happen outside of the traditional place where cars are made in this country?
No, I definitely think Detroit will be a part of the solution. We have, as you're well aware of, more automotive engineering brain power here in southeastern Michigan than anywhere else in the world, and we have more design brain power here than anywhere in the world. So when you put those two things together, it's a logical place for new innovation. We've had battery companies establish themselves here. We have windmill parts suppliers here, and then, of course, we have one of the largest windmill companies in the world right across the river in Windsor, Ontario. Many of those parts are shipped from Michigan over to Ontario to build those huge windmills. So we'll definitely be part of the solution in Michigan. The brain power is here.
Thanks so much, Doug Fox, for joining us. Doug is the president of Michigan Automotive.